Welcome back to Passionate Internet Voices Talk Radio around the world, bringing you challenging, stretching, controversial, educational, entertaining programs similar to national public radio and television broadcasts. Today, June 9th, 2006, coming in from Ann Arbor, Michigan, I bring to you Douglas Bergman. Good evening, Doug.
Good evening, Lillian, and how are you this evening?
I'm doing very well, thank you.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Welcome Home Hour. This evening, the Welcome Home Hour comes to you from our normal location, the Radical Ice Cream Blue Rag Cafe and Demolition Society. More on that later. This is the place to pick up some information about veterans, news and issues, important writing information and publishing information, and to maintain the attitude that I always love, somewhat raucous, somewhat rebellious, and somewhat intelligent and respectful exchange on all fronts. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to introduce David W. Powell, who is a Vietnam veteran and also an author, with a book about to launch or may already be out called My Tour in Hell. Dave, why don't you just tell us a little bit about where you served and what brought you to write this book?
Well, thank you. Hello to your audience. I served with 1st Battalion, 7th Marines, 1st Marine Division, Delta Company, in 66 and 67. Topographically, I was in Chu Lai for 7 months and Hill 55 in Da Nang for the remaining 5 months.
That's all right, Dave. We do talk to jarheads here, even though I'm an old Army grunt. Always had such a wonderful respect for the toughness of the Marines. And let me officially just say, welcome home, soldier, welcome home. So carry on. Tell us a little bit more about, you know, the stuff that happened and what brought you to write the book. And, we'll keep going on that here for a while.
Sure. Two things happened that caused me to go from mind to paper. The first one was a very good friend named Gerald French got in contact with me and suggested we co-author a book on my experiences in the form of a memoir. Shortly after we started working together, I'd say within a month, Gerald relocated halfway around the world and involved himself in an entirely new life. And the mutual project came to an end. So I still was motivated to do it and called another friend who has now become a dear friend to me, Victor Volkman, in Ann Arbor, Michigan. He's a fine editor and coach. And he and I picked up from the beginning and wrote this book, which begins on about my first week in combat. And it's frankly, it's a no-holds-barred, tell-it-like-it-happened book that, A, I'm relieved to have finally finished, and B, excited that I'm getting some nice reviews on it.
Why don't you, now tell me, David, is the book about to come out? Where can listeners find the book, either in stores or on the Internet? Help us figure out where we can find and buy My Tour in Hell.
Thank
you. Good evening, gentlemen.
Hi, Victor.
Hi, this is Victor Volkman at Modern History Press in Ann Arbor, Michigan.
Oh, we have a wonderful group chat. So why don't the two of you tell us for a bit here where we can find, you know, plans for My Tour in Hell and where readers can find it.
Exactly. The release date is the 4th of July, 2006. And because we're just a few days before the release date, Amazon.com is your main outlet for the book. However, it will show up on BarnesandNoble.com, Books a Million, and most other online bookstores, I'd say by mid-July at the latest. And we've also inked a deal with Leatherneck Press, which is associated with the Military Writers Society kind of loosely, and they've agreed to represent our book as well. So we're very happy with it.
Well, that sounds like a wonderful and strategic launch for a book that I have here and have been reading. So as a reminder, people can find My Tour in Hell launching July 4th at Amazon.com primarily, but you'll soon probably see it on the MWSA or Leatherneck site and Barnes & Noble. And it's good to hear that your notices are solid from here. I even earmarked a passage that I was willing to bring the readers. But I want to hand it back to David and kick it off with the question. I know, David, when I wrote my book, it was kind of like this stuff gets stuck in your soul and you eventually almost have to write it because you've been thinking about it for 35 years. Did you find any of that and or the sense of therapy, if you know what I mean, therapy for yourself and doing it? Because it gets pretty hard. I mean, so what brought you to, you know, did you have any of that, and what brought you to finally decide, you know, I'm going to write this book?
Oh, thank you. I found the experience of writing the book a releasing one. I found that it was nearly impossible to begin writing in a first-person manner, so I chose initially to pretend I was listening to a conversation between myself and a friend and wrote it in the third person, if you will.
That's interesting, Dave, because by the same method, I went the total other way and wound up with first person because my advisors and editors and saying, you know, you're keeping it too far away, you're keeping it too far away, you got to get into the guts of it, and so do it first person. But, you know, we both did very difficult things by different ways. Please continue.
Okay, thank you. I found that reading my own book was interesting and revealing about some of the subconscious thoughts that I had been carrying around, as you said, some 35 years. Also, it was a period of discovering some occluded experiences that became more clear and, as such, kind of went to rest emotionally. So it was a cathartic and good thing for me to have done for myself, and hopefully the readers and other veterans, whether it be combat or not, will appreciate a little bit more the truth that one person has said,
right,
that being me.
You may find, as I did, that strangely my largest audience doesn't turn out to be veterans because it's very tough for them to read stuff. Some do, but it turns out a lot to be family members and you know, and that kind of thing. But I agree with you on the cathartic situation, that it's difficult to do and cathartic despite, you know, that it winds up feeling better having. It's wonderful to have finished a book project like this. David, I was hoping maybe you picked out a passage that you'd like to share with us. Do you have something you'd like to read for the listeners?
Yes, sir, I do. It's in the beginnings, and I think it's, and I'm sure that Victor will agree, it's rather representative of my writing style throughout the book, and a little picture about where I go with it. And I'll begin, if you wish.
Go for it.
Okay, this was on an operation. And it begins with this paragraph. When I entered the tree line, I saw at least a dozen VC lying on the ground, pretty shot up. I watched in disgust as Private Dewey, a rifleman I had been on a few patrols with before, put his foot on the chest of a dead VC. Dewey was shorter than most of us. He acted like he had a chip on his shoulder. He held his hand, his rifle in his right hand, and his helmet was cocked to one side. He held his left hand up in a fist and stomped on the dead VC's chest. Blood squirted out through the bullet holes like a miniature garden fountain. I couldn't force myself to look away. Some hideous part of me wanted to watch this macabre act. "Yee-haw!" he shrieked. I was sickened and nauseated by the scene and ashamed to have been one of the looky-loos. Full stop. That's the passage I wanted to share.
That's a wonderful and difficult bit of a situation. Actually, as I was reading through the book, something caught my eye, and I'm just going to, you know, by recommending My Tour in Hell by David Powell to our listeners and readers, here's a short passage that I noticed on page 26 that I thought was just absolutely wonderful. Incoming rounds flew from every direction. I caught a glimpse of somebody out of the corner of my eye to the right of me. He was about 20 meters away. I turned to look directly at him and immediately recognized him. He was the priest from the regimental HQ I'd met while traveling to Delta for the first time, Delta Company. He knelt over a gravely wounded man who lay on the ground in front of him. The priest took off his helmet with his right hand and laid it beside him. His left hand clutched a rosary and some vestment. He put his hands together in front of him and prayed over the chest of the dying man. As he was giving what small comfort of last rites he could, he caught one directly in his temple and fell over to the left. He lay there motionless. A corpsman ran over to him in a crouched position. He shook the priest by his shoulder a couple of times. Then Doc shook his head no as he stared at the ground. Doc then fled back to the lines from when he had come. I believe the priest went straight to heaven. That's a short passage that I happened to notice earlier in the book. And I'll tell you what reminded me about reading through some of your book, Dave, was that it is, as you said, a straightforward and a declarative and one might even say quiet and understated a sense of factual telling of the story. And I'm sure it's something that readers will enjoy for its vividness, because the thing I run into a lot is that people outside of the military, we didn't talk much about this stuff. We seem to be doing it in our books and stories and photographs, that it turns out to be a situation, oh, that's how David got that way. Oh, that's what happened to David, you know, in that kind of situation. If you have another passage you'd like to read to us, why don't you do that? Did you have something else?
Not offhand, but
okay.
I
may have been a bit too literal by saying it to keep it short, but here for the readers, this caught me quite interestingly, and I'm sure it's why readers will enjoy your book, is that David W. Powell enlisted for a tour of duty in April 66 with the U.S. Marines after receiving an imminent draft notice. Believing he would be able to leverage his existing skills as a computer programmer, he never thought all they would see on his resume was his karate experience. Even less, he would wind up serving as a rocket man in the jungles of Da Nang and Chulai for a 13-month tour in hell. David's journey from naive civilian to battleground combat hard veteran shows us all how fragile our humanity really is. In addition to killing the enemy on the field of battle, he was to witness to countless cruelties, including murder, cold-blooded and casual, cowardice under fire, and a callous disregard for life beyond most people's imagination. With each new insult, he lost a little bit of his soul, clinging to his Bible as his only solace, while equally certain of his own demise. and the rear cover notice goes on. In the interest of, you know, this whole issue of why we write these books, their cathartic and therapeutic value, how did you find that writing process, David, in terms of its wear and tear on you?
It was, Doug, it was quite brutal at times. To example, the passage that you just read, I can still not read aloud without mm-hmm. being reduced to tears.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't haunt me, but the pain is real.
No, I know. It's just I know.
I
tell my friends now, you know, jokingly, but with a lot of seriousness, that I can't stand my own book. I mean, in terms of you know, reading it or hearing it aloud. I mean, I have to do it because of the promotional aspect. But it's very difficult on the heart, wouldn't you agree?
I totally agree. And having just finished and soon to publish this book, I'm often in a position of asking myself, why didn't somebody ask me what happened when I first got back? As to go 35 years of silence and recall, whether it be conscious or re-experienced as in a traumatic experience. I think that with traumatic incident reduction and full disclosure, as early after events like this take place, the greater life would be.
You know, one of the interesting things, David, I talked about this on the last show, and you may or may not agree, that a lot of very wise people put a lot of blame on what is called the DROS, or rotation system. Is like in World War II, guys trained together, went over together on a boat, fought together, and came home. And to make a long story short, we came home from Vietnam. You're in the jungle one day, and suddenly you're on a chopper, you're on an airplane, and you're back in Oakland, California, in under 24 hours, and, you know, kicked to the curb, as the saying goes, whereas the guys from World War II in Korea, they got that long, slow boat ride home to talk to each other, to wind down, and all of this, and a much different political or societal community and attitude. But the wise men are saying, that diffuse time that you just mentioned, and that's probably what messed a bunch of us up, is that, one, they didn't like us. Two, we had no chance to diffuse or wind down, and the shock of so suddenly coming out of the jungle to back home probably had a lot to do with it. I'll trust these wise men of intelligence.
Right. That's exactly what I agree with. In less than 24 hours, I had no rifle, no uniform, no armed buddies around me, and a swarm of humanity. And my sense of trust was absolutely at end. I was more afraid than when I was born, if I could have remembered that time.
You know, I went straight to college, and for many years I did this, but it happened in college because I went to a protest-oriented campus, and they all knew, all my friends knew, but all people knew was that I was a 21-year-old freshman. And my stock phrase was, because I was just very leery and very guarded, was, I went over there, you know, had a few firefights, came back with all my thumbs and toes. And that's how I left it, because I didn't want to engage the conversation and have it become a thing. So I kept it secret, because I knew people didn't want to listen, and they were going to get very hateful very quick.
I did the very same thing. I did everything that I thought I could do to conceal the fact that I was ever a veteran.
Right.
Let alone a combat experience veteran.
Oh, I would not talk about it. combat, and I'm not saying it was true for you, but I was one of the typical variety that self-medicated with bad behavior and alcohol for so many years. In fact, I share now in a very wide spectrum of knowledge, because I'm very upfront about it, you know, my years as a drunk, is that I didn't even know I had a Vietnam issue till I stopped drinking, and then I got hit with the second left hook.
Oh, boy.
You know, that's...
Yes, sir. I too, abused alcohol to the point, and I mention it in the book, that I was the recipient of three separate driving under the influence tickets.
Mm-hmm.
And
I used to joke with my best friend, not a military person, but also a drunk, that we actually joked about this. We don't drink and drive. We drink while driving.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
I mean, we were rather raw about it. And quite literally, David, I had no idea I had a Vietnam issue until I was clean and sober in the psych ward in 1985. And I'm listening to helicopters, and I'm talking to ex-POWs, and I'm looking at locked doors, and I'm just bouncing off the walls. And in fact, my book is a flashback from this very unfortunate counselor, a graduate student, who asked me, "How are you feeling today?" And it just exploded. You know, in that sense. And so the whole book is that explosive, you know, screaming and yelling and sweating, where at the end of the 45 minutes I said, "Bob, I have to get out of this room," and I ran. And it still took me years to figure out that I had a Vietnam issue. I think so many of us thought about this stuff so much, and that we then became, much like we self-medicated, we became self-healers by being photographers, journalists, teachers, writers, painters, because somewhere along the line we figure out, maybe I'll get better and stop hating myself if I get this crap out, as hard as it's going to be, and boy, is it hard.
It's tough to do. What I did, other than become an out-and-out drunk, was to totally immerse myself in work. I worked all the time.
I hear so much of that, even to this day. You know, that people become veterans become workaholics. I mean, no offense intended, but are you on your second, third, or fourth marriage, by the way?
I'm on my third marriage.
There's another common thing. I'm divorced myself, and I give good faith and God's good hand to the people in our lives who put up with us now, thinking that, well, maybe he's healthy now.
Well, I didn't meet Susan, my current and future wife, until after I had been helped with most of the traumatic experiences that ruined the quality of life for me.
Right, right.
It was only then that I found the nerve, frankly, to approach another human being without one right fist cocked behind my back.
Right.
I feared that they would attack me rather than befriend me.
That's very common. Liz, I can probably string out a few things that you and I share. I know I do this, and maybe you do too, you know, sitting with my back to the wall or in the corner, always aware of where the out in the room is.
Spot on.
Startling very easily, having unusual moments of anger with friends and loved ones, not at them, but anger in general.
Right.
Or dumb things, like it doesn't have to be a Vietnam thing. I can be watching the television and see a touching moment with a puppy or between some children, and I just start bawling like a baby.
That's me.
That, you know, that kind of thing. That, and I think it just, I would urge every veteran or family member to write something, paint something, sing something. The therapeutic value, as difficult as it is, seems to help in on way. Tell us a little bit more about you, David. Are you becoming a writer by trade? Have you written? Will you be writing other things? What do you do? You know, what do you do for a living in Ann Arbor?
I live in Tucson, Arizona.
Okay, got that wrong.
Okay, not to worry. This was my first attempt at writing anything. After it was finished and the weariness wore off and I got some energy back, I came up with another idea that I'm going to work with Victor on.
And what will that be?
That will be how to reclaim positive self-esteem and how to develop a mindset to receive positive esteem in the future.
It
takes the form of basically, and this is without pen to paper, the form of three resumes, a life resume, a living resume, and a end of times resume.
Now, David, do you come from a counseling-related background, or is this something that's coming out of your experience with your own journey?
It is my experience with my own journey.
Okay.
Some obsessive reading of other printed material that discuss self-esteem and stress and other issues. Some psychological approaches such as reframing, cognitive behavioral stuff. But being a high school graduate, I don't feel I'm a learned author. I find it an excellent way to express myself in a somewhat intellectual way about what I really feel.
Well, that's, you know, I wouldn't belittle that in the least, because it would seem these days that the greatest type of helpful and introspective, for lack of a better phrase, healing self-help books these days come from the people that have experienced the situation and simply share with a reader, you know, here's how I fought my way out of it by doing A, B, and C, and here's what happened to me. And do you have a title for the project yet?
No, I don't. It basically is positive self-esteem, how to get there from here.
Okay.
I find and agree with you, Doug, that the best work comes from the people that know what they're talking about.
Right.
Armchair is not going to get anything. But
I have such a hard time talking to 25-year-old, very educated counselors, and I'm sitting there thinking, they don't know a rat's ass about what combat is or Vietnam was.
Right.
And they're trying to help me heal.
Yes. Change the way you think about it.
Mm.
That was a quote-unquote. Well, if you haven't been there, you don't know what needs to be changed.
That almost sounds like the old vaudeville joke. Doctor, it hurts when I do that. Don't do that. I mean, it's very funny, but it doesn't really help a lot because it's not that easy to do. I think you and I might agree that it's kind of a life process where you hurt and think and hurt and think for years and decades on end until almost like in AA parlance, you get sick and tired of being sick and tired. And you say, well, if I really got to lay this all out, you know, to feel better, well, then that's, you know, that's what I'm going to have to do.
Right.
I see by the clock on the wall that the first hour will be winding down and ending soon. So I just want to do a little bit of review here. Tonight's first or only literary guest is and has been David W. Powell, the author of My Tour in Hell, A Marine's Battle with Combat Trauma. I would recommend this to all present and future listeners to check this book out at Amazon.com, where you'll find it under that title as part of the Modern History Press list. David's book will be launching nationally and internationally and all that good stuff on July 4th, 2006. And if you want to get your hands on a book that's going to help you understand your thinking process, or for your family member, or the family member trying to reach out to a Vietnam veteran, I would strongly suggest that you take a look at My Tour in Hell from Modern History Press by David W. Powell. David, I want to thank you for being here tonight. If Mr. Volkman is still there and wants to pop in with something, do it.
Sure. Thank you, Doug. I'll take the stage for the last 2 minutes here. If your listeners would like to find out more about the specific process of traumatic incident reduction, which is the process through which David achieved most of his closure, have a look at our website, www.tir.org, and you can read stories of people from all walks of life who experienced the technique of traumatic incident reduction, being domestic violence survivors, auto accident survivors. Even children have been helped by this technique. So it's really my greatest hope that this book somewhat spotlights what's possible in the way of healing with our method.
Well, I thank you for that wonderful push and heartfelt statements. Ladies and gentlemen out there in the listening world, we've just been talking with Mr. Volkman from Modern History Press, who is launching My Tour in Hell, A Marine's Battle with Combat Trauma, by David W. Powell. I want to thank Mr. Volkman for taking the time to be here. I want to thank David Powell, the author of the book, for sharing this time with us. And in one last little veteran-to-veteran thing, said before but never said enough, David W. Powell, I salute you and thank you for your service to country, and I give you that veteran-to-veteran hail and hearty welcome home, soldier, welcome home.
Thank you, sir. I embrace you mentally. Wish I could shake your hand and look forward to doing so October 13th.
I get a hunch you're going to be out there at the MWSA event. I, too, will be there, and it'll be nice to share a cup of coffee and chew on a few things. So thank you to David W. Powell, My Tour in Hell, launching July 4th of this year. You can find it on Amazon, and you can contact by Googling it, Modern History Press, for additional health and book information.